Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. And as the title of the broadcast tells you, it is the Word for your life. And what we've been describing in the last couple of broadcasts has been how the Word of God is changing some lives. Eli Vasquez and David Hartung are two teenagers here with our student ministries pastor, Steve Sowers, telling us how the Word of God has been changing their lives. And at the end of the broadcast, this last time, David, you were just beginning to tell us about evangelism explosion. It's kind of a training time to help you to take the Word of God and share Christ with other people.
Well, especially as a young kid, I experienced a lot of fear related to trying to share the gospel with people. I didn't really know where I was going to go, but as I read the Bible more and more, not only did I realize areas in my personal life that needed to be reformed, I realized the Bible was very clear. We're supposed to be telling other people how they can be sure they have eternal life, and I knew that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know where to go with it. I knew that I was saved and how that worked, but I never knew how to tell somebody that. Evangelism Explosion was a program from our church that taught me a succinct, clear way that anyone can understand on how to share the gospel, how to make other people understand it. And it changed my life because now I can walk around in a mall and greet total random strangers and find a way to transition into a gospel-centered conversation. The other week, I had a two-hour-plus conversation with two guys whose names I don't know because I just met them in a mall, and they had questions, and I had answers. If I hadn't been prepared by that program and prepared by the Word of God to talk to them on every question they could come up with, they would still be seeking. And while they're still seeking, they now know where they can find the answers.
Right.
And it's been hugely changing in my life because that fear factor is so much lessened. It makes me so much more effective for the gospel.
It develops a real confidence in being able to share your faith.
Definitely. You still feel a little bit of trepidation, but I have a definite confidence because I know that inside those answers are there because I've got them from the Word of God.
So it is the Word for life. And you've buried the Word into your heart and your mind, and then you can begin to share it when you meet other people. Eli, tell us about maybe an experience that you've had.
Well, just as far as EE goes, I was in there for a while, too. I know David and I had joined at the same time when they first opened it for the teens, and we were in there for quite a while. I haven't been in there for a bit. And when you're witnessing to someone once a week, every week you are going out and just spending hours. You're just going, finding people,
mm-hmm.
and just being able to share the Word with them. I don't think there's any better way to be on fire for the Lord, and it's the greatest.
It's what it's all about.
Yes.
A good friend of ours went to St. George, Utah to start a church, hugely Mormon country. And at first, folks said, well, how in the world are you going to do that? Well, he was kind of visionary. He came to our church and asked for 6 months' support. 6 months' support. I told him, sure, we'll support you for 6 months. And then the next 6 months, and then the next several years, because I knew it's not going to be easy to start a church in St. George, Utah. They've got one of the largest Mormon temples there, you know, and so, wow, that's really going to be tough. As I talked with him later, he told me that door-to-door visitation really didn't work, but the casual contacts that he had during the course of the day, just people that were changing the oil in his car, as he would go to the post office, he would go get a cup of coffee. All these casual contacts, people began to just ask him questions about, well, how long you been here? You know, what's going on in your life? He was able to ask them questions, looking for what's called felt needs. What needs do you have in your life that you just don't feel like are being met? And then the Lord opened the door. And it's exciting to be able to see what God has done. But what you guys are describing is talking to total strangers and having the confidence to be able to share the most important news that you've ever heard.
I can remember Pastor Greg, some of our teens were on a New York City mission trip, and here we're toward the end of the week, and we've been sharing the gospel with people on the subway, and here's a guy, he's probably 25, 26 years old, and one of our teen girls was trying to hand him a track and share with him Christ, and they were in a pretty detailed conversation, and it was getting pretty heated because he was an atheist and just very upset at this girl who's trying to tell him about the Lord, and some of our teens saw what was going on and came over and supported her and tried to help explain what she was talking about, and he was just very against everything that they were saying, and he looked at these teens and he said something to the effect of, do you really believe that? You've just been taught that since you were young. You don't know what you're talking about. And then he got off on his stop and they just started to weep. And it's opportunities like that, I think, that change people's lives, because I think for the first time, some of those teens saw people not as people, but as souls, that there is opposition out there. And here is a man who has the opportunity to hear about Christ and to receive it, who openly just rejects it. And they feel that in their heart, saying, you know what? He's probably going to spend eternity in hell. And it impacted them from that moment to the rest of the trip. And that's what's amazing about these opportunities. So many times we live our lives and we pass people on the street every day and we don't care. We don't think of them that way. They're just people. But as Matthew chapter 9 reminds us, Jesus saw people as souls, as sheep without a shepherd, and he longed for them to hear the message of the gospel.
You know, Pastor Steve, that reminds me of a passage in Acts chapter 17 where the Apostle Paul was waiting in a city of Athens for some missionary help to come. And so he really didn't have a plan or a program or anything to do until, you know, his helpers came. And it said that while he waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And you can see that the Apostle Paul was not just a casual visitor or tourist, but he saw the entire city is given over to idolatry. And his soul was stirred within him. I think that's what we miss many times, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When our country is given over to all kinds of idolatry, of worshiping this person and that possession and that profession, but yet we can just kind of casually live our lives disconnected with their oblivion.
Mm-hmm. In a way, we live Colossians 3 when we take our teens on missions, because it's a way for us to have them set their mind on things above. And maybe for some of them, for the first time, they're seeing things through a different perspective than just everyday reality of living life for me. It's now, hey, let me serve others. Let me live for really why I'm here. And that's to serve God and to share the gospel and to glorify God in everything that I do. And it just opens their eyes to reality.
So, Eli, the devotions that you guys did in those 12 weeks prior to the mission trips, was that kind of a theme of others and focusing on others that came out again and again during those devotions?
Well, usually they would start on certain traits that we were really supposed to be establishing, because they were like six-week booklets that we had. And they were usually focused on either a trait or a book of the Bible. And you would just get out of those traits or something, that stuff that you really need to be practicing. And through the practice of those, you see, you know, I need to be sharing with people. I need to have a concern with those people. So I think that's just a result that comes when you study God's word and you study his intent for you. You clearly see that's what God wants, is for us to share.
So there's more than teenage living of sports and academics and fine arts.
Yeah, definitely.
There's something else that God has in store for you. And I think it gets back to the statement, well, our teenagers are the church of tomorrow. I get so sick of hearing that. Our teenagers are the church of today.
Absolutely.
Because you guys are doing God's work as teenagers. Here, around the world, in our local churches, in training times, in the local church, in choir and orchestra, and teaching times. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And I think if all of our churches would kind of get that idea, then our young people would begin to understand, I don't have to wait to be an adult before I can serve the Lord. And all three of my boys are actively serving the Lord in some kind of full-time Christian ministry. And many times they would say, Dad, you took us with you, and we did ministry with you. And so it wasn't something that stole their dad away from them, but it was something that they did together with me and really began to get a heart for, hey, this is neat.
What we're starting to see is a trend now that we've been doing this missions program for the last 5 years, is that there are parents that are seeing their kids' lives changing and they want to be a part of these trips. So every summer we take 3 to 4 mission trips with our teens. Parents are just jumping on board wanting to be sponsors. Well, you know what? They're going through the same process. It's not like, oh, I'm showing up and just going. No, you're going to work through that workbook. You're going to be helping these kids. And you're going to allow God to work in your heart as well, because you are not at a stage in life where you've arrived. we're all continuing to grow and to learn. And so with what God is doing in the lives of our teens, it's sparking a fire in the midst of our parents and adults. And it's just exciting to see.
Would you guys say that if you guys come back from a missions trip all fired up and your parents are just kind of ho-hum, it would really be hard to maintain that spirit of fire, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And often it's even aggravated because you'll come back and you're spiritually on fire, but your body feels like it's dead because those trips are, you know, genuinely exhausting. And so you come back and the challenge doesn't stop after you get home from the airport, after the bus has brought you back to church and you get in your car at some early morning hour. If the church isn't done with us, our lives can't shut down until the next summer.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to be starting at the same spot we did.
Mm-hmm. And how important it is for you parents who are listening to this broadcast, if you have teenagers or if you have contact with teenagers, maybe in your church or in your neighborhood, or I might even be speaking to you as grandparents, and you have grandchildren, that God is doing a work in their hearts and lives. God can use you in a fantastic way to encourage your grandchildren, to encourage the teenagers in your church.
Pastor Greg, I think something that often we struggle with is being real in our Christian walk. And I think a lot of times as young people, it's hard for us because God is not real to us. And through these trips and through the discipleship, we try to put them in a place where their eyes can be open to who the Lord is. He is a God of provision. He is a God who gives you strength in those moments of weakness. He is a God that has given you specific gifts. He is a God that would love to be able to use you in a way to impact this world for Christ. And so many people have missed out on those opportunities, thinking, well, God hasn't called me to full-time ministry. You know what? He's called us all to ministry,
mm-hmm.
every single one of us. And the reality is many of these kids that go on these trips won't go into full-time ministry, but you know what they're getting? A heartbeat to live ministry. And that's what God calls us to do.
Exactly. Well, we have run out of time again. But as we think of missions, we can have one of two philosophies. We can either be planning to go, but willing to stay, or willing to go, but planning to stay. And I think God wants all of us to be planning to go. And then if God says no, then we say, okay, Lord, where? And what? But He did say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I trust these broadcasts have been an encouragement and maybe a catalyst to help you to begin to think about your church and what it can do to challenge young people and young adults to get active for Christ. Until the next broadcast, we trust that you'll experience God's blessings.